from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Indeed, here we go. It is time to get another week started. Welcome in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you'd like to join in, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, voice messaging. If you call or text, the phone number always the same, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And if you are listening via the Odyssey app, you can just click the microphone button, and you can leave a voice message for us as well. We've got a busy, busy program coming up this evening. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Stu Durando. Now, when we first had the idea of bringing Stu on, the idea was to reflect upon his time at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and we certainly will do that. But he has already announced his next endeavor as well. So for those of you who don't know, Stu, who has done a great job covering Billikens athletics and Billikens basketball, he recently retired from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, but he's not off the SLU beat totally, and we'll explain that coming up at about 6:20 later on this hour. We'll talk Chiefs football. Blair Kirkhoff, one of our furry favorite folks from Kansas City, will join us, and we'll get his thoughts on what was it's one of those games yesterday for Kansas City. If you just look at the box score, not only should the Chiefs not have won, they should not have won by 10 points in San Francisco. Tough place to play, all because of the final line for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes threw for 154 yards. Just 154 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions, and they won by 10 in San Francisco. It's ridiculous. And the Chiefs are 6-0, so we'll talk with Blair Kirkhoff about that. And then coming up next hour, we'll talk baseball with Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. We'll talk with him coming up. We'll go through some Cardinal stuff with him, but also go through the World Series. Want to open up the show, though, and we'll talk about this kind of, we'll weave it in and out as we go through the 2 hours. It's being reported by Katie Wu from The Athletic that the coaching staff changes are starting to happen for the Cardinals. Now, we'd already known about some small moves. You know what? Hitting coach Turner Ward not returning, that's a big move, but some other pieces going to kind of change around. But we really didn't know what it was going to start to look like. Well, now what it might look like starting to come more into the picture, as Katie Wu of The Athletic reporting that former Cardinal John Jay is going to be rejoining the organization working on the coaching staff. And if you haven't been following along, for the last 2 years, Jay was the first base coach for the Miami Marlins, working under Skip Schumacher. Schumacher did not come. He'd made the decision, he and the Marlins for that matter, made the decision that he would not be back for a third season after he exited the organization, basically let all of the coaches go. That included John Jay. There was a report out there that the Marlins might be interested in Jay sticking around with whoever their next manager would be, but that everybody was free to go seek employment elsewhere, and Jay is going to return to the Cardinals. What his role exactly is going to be, we don't know, but we can get a little bit of an idea because Willie McGee has reportedly resigned his position as an outfield coach on the Major League staff, and instead he is going to be reassigned where he's going to work as an advisor to the front office. What those duties really look like, we don't know. We might not really know until, say, like the winter meetings. That might be the next time we really get the opportunity to talk with both Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak, and we can get it. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to get more details before then. Of course, Mo tends to show up on sports on a Sunday morning quite often as well, so Tom might get the answer from him before that point. But one way or another, the baseball winter meetings coming up in December would be a time that I'm sure much of this will be discussed on what the roles are going to look like and what the coaching staff is going to end up looking like, because they're still going to have to find a new hitting coach. Assistant hitting coach Brandon Allen is staying on the staff, but indications are that he's going to stay in that assistant hitting coach role, and that they're going to bring in a new hitting coach from the outside. There's there's a lot of people that are going to be coming into the organization. If you just look at the job postings for the St. Louis Cardinals, there are a ton of job postings right now when it comes to like baseball operations and analytics and data and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of job openings right now inside the organization, and that's connected to Chaim Bloom coming in and kind of redoing the way they do player development and a lot of other things. I think the Cardinals are following through with what they said they will do based off some of the job postings that are out there, but there's a good number of them here at the moment, and what it's going to look like and all the different people that are coming in the organization, we'll have to wait and see. I would be curious to know what leads to Willie McGee exiting the big league staff. And my first, this is just me talking, this is zero inside information whatsoever. My first thought is he was ready to not go through the everyday grind. Being a major league coach, it's tough. It's a tough job. It is a lot of hours. It's first one in the door. It's last one out for what Willie was doing, working with outfielders. I mean, that was intensive labor. He was out on the field 3 p.m. when it's 100 degrees outside. After that, he's doing flips with hit. He was always out, always working hard. Of all the coaches, and this isn't a shot at any coach, but man, anytime I saw Willie, he was moving. Like, he was always going somewhere to do something. He was coming into the clubhouse to grab guys to get them come out and do work in the outfield. That dude is a grinder, and he's 65 years old. At some point, you got to say to yourself, man, I don't know about all this. So I don't know if that's the conversation he was having with himself and how much that led to it. I watched that guy work his you-know-what off on an everyday basis, and man, he was good at his job. He was really good at his job, and he was great at making outfielders better. And I hope as an assistant to the front office, maybe that might continue to include him continuing to work with outfielders on occasion, to coming down on the field. Maybe even that includes him going to some minor league sites and working with outfielders there, continuing to do some instruction at spring training. I'd be hopeful that that happens. I don't know if that's going to happen. He was named a special assistant to the front office, not a special assistant to the managerial office or anything like that. So we don't know what those details are going to look like, but he certainly is an asset to the organization, and even if he's not on the full-time major league coaching staff, I'm hopeful that he's still going to be able to get have influence on the major league team, because he was really good at what he has done and has made a lot of outfielders a whole lot better. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we return, Stu Durando is going to join us. Recently moving on from the Post-Dispatch, but not moving on from covering SLU basketball. We'll talk with Stu coming up in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Last week we learned that Stu Durando was going to be calling it a career at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and we really wanted to get him on to talk about that and reflect upon his time with the Post-Dispatch, where he did a lot of things, and we'll still do that, but before we even get the chance to talk to him, he's already announced his next endeavor, so we get to talk about that as well. We do welcome Stu Durando onto the program. Stu, it's great to talk to you as always. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm sure you have done a fair amount of reflecting. You were at the Post-Dispatch and STL Today for a long time. You covered a whole lot of different things. How tough is it for you putting that into the rearview mirror?
I haven't had a lot of time to think of it. Now that I kind of ponder that, because it kind of came on so quickly. It was kind of a quick situation that occurred with layoffs and then a buyout offer and a decision to do that in fairly quick order. So I kind of had to make a quick evaluation of things, and probably wouldn't have decided to do it if I didn't think I could keep myself busy covering some St. Louis University stuff that I've been so immersed in. And so when I gave it some thought and came up with a way maybe that I could keep contributing in that area, I decided to go ahead and do it. But I had to kind of make a decision in less than a week, so it was kind of a rapid fire thing.
You're so connected to SLU now, but you probably don't remember me, but like I remember the first time I came in contact with you. I was a kid working for the Stats Online, which at that point was the prep sports section of the Post-Dispatch, but we were kind of on our own little island, and every once in a while I'd be covering a game and you'd be covering that game as well. I mean, you go back to your prep sports and then everything else that you've touched on during your time. It was what a career and what a legacy you leave of covering so many things and touching so many different things.
No, well, that's nice of you to say. So yeah, those prep days, I mean, that was another century.
Mm-hmm.
When I started in 96 and was in running the prep section at the Post-Dispatch. But those are good times. I always liked doing preps back then. And, you know, it's just kind of the nuts and bolts of stuff you learn on the way up. I mean, I was already in my mid-30s by that point. But, yeah, that was kind of the launching point for me at the Post-Dispatch into, you know, the various college beats that I've covered and a lot of the professional sports that I was allowed to participate in helping to cover as well.
Is there a moment that stands out over any other moment of a game or an event that you were able to cover during your time?
Oh, probably the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl in 2000. I was down in Atlanta for the week with about 25 people from the Post-Dispatch. Back in the day when we used to send a lot of people on the road to cover things, photographers and designers and editors and writers, and just getting to cover that game was probably, you know, one of the most lasting highlights of my career.
All right, so let's get to what you're moving on to. You've created a Substack. It is the Stew on SLU, which is a fantastic name, by the way. So congratulations on that.
Hopefully it'll just stick in people's minds.
Yeah, Stew on SLU. I like it. StewOnSLU.substack.com is where people can go. So for folks who have been so accustomed to reading your coverage of the Billikens with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, they now have the opportunity to do that here on the Substack.
Yeah, and it's a way, you know, that was my first thought when I was deciding whether or not to step away. And, you know, it's kind of a step that a lot of writers have taken who have either lost jobs or, you know, left newspapers, decided to do other things. And so I just started, I didn't know a lot about it. Honestly, I'd heard about it, but I hadn't delved into it much. So I've been trying to do that and I'm still learning it. But it's a way to basically control everything I write as much as I want. Try to edit myself a little bit and make sure I'm not getting too many mistakes in there. But it's really a point where I can do more than I've done in the past on SLU because, you know, in the paper, things are limited. And now I can write every day if I want. I can write twice a day if there's things to write. There's just an unlimited amount of space there, obviously, online. And my time is wide open, so I have plenty of time to put into it.
There's an opportunity to go, and you allude to this, you know, so much more in depth than you're able to, you know, do when you are limited by word count. Is that something that you're looking forward to? Just the whether it's stories of individuals or really diving into something that happens in a game, trying to be able to go that much more in depth than you were previously able to?
Yeah, especially with like profiles on athletes, coaches, or whatever it might be. There are always restrictions in terms of length. You know, not too horrible, but, you know, this gives the opportunity where if there's really a great story that can be told in a much longer format, that I don't have to worry about restricting myself and putting a limit on words, as you say. And in other areas, I think it'll just be a little bit more relaxed, maybe loose and fun writing, maybe a little more analytical than I might have done in the past in the paper where I was just reporting on games or whatnot. So I think it just opens the door for some flexibility in the way I write.
The pivot comes at a good time because this is an incredibly compelling SLU basketball team, the story of a new coach, the story of those players coming in, the NIL stuff that's been going on with the athletic department where they've been punching above their weight in that area. You know, with all due respect to the athletic department, to the basketball program, compared to where they're at right now, a year ago, this was kind of a boring program, and they're anything but boring right now. So it feels like there's more interesting, exciting things to be able to write about.
Yeah, it's certainly a preseason of great intrigue, and I think the interest is obviously, I think, a lot higher than it was maybe a year or so ago when, you know, it just things weren't looking real good, even in the preseason. And, you know, there's so much unknown with this team, but the coach in Josh Shirt is someone who has gained a lot of national recognition with what he did at Indiana State, and then bringing in two players from that team who got a lot of recognition for what they accomplished. And he's just kind of put together some other pieces that are really kind of fascinating as we watch them. I watch them in practice on many days. It's, you know, you try and envision what you might see on the court in a game. We got our first look on Friday night in an exhibition game. Impossible to judge really much from that because Avila didn't play. But you can just see that there's so many guys that have the potential to do things that could be really impressive. And you just wonder what it's going to look like, say, a month into the season.
In that game the other night, they're down at halftime, and then they turn it on in the second half, putting up 56 second-half points in that second half. What'd they shoot? They shot 60-something percent, 64%. Yeah, 64%. So, and like you said, Avila wasn't even in there. Now, Rockhurst isn't a D1 program, but that being said, they certainly did show some flashes of what they could be, especially in that second half.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a typical exhibition game, or was pretty messy for a while. Rockhurst actually kind of took it to them in the first half. They were more physical, and I think kind of took the Billikens by surprise a little bit. And, you know, they're going out there for their first game. They're trying to adjust to not knowing what they're going to see. And they did a fine job coming out in the second half, kind of, you know, forcing the tempo, forcing the way they wanted to play on Rockhurst, and kind of blew them out. But it was very messy at times, some poor shooting, and then the second half just flipped and everything went almost perfectly right for SLU.
We know the names like Gibson Jimerson and Isaiah Swope and the expectation of what those guys are going to be, but the guy who led the team in scoring was Amari McCautry, and he's a freshman out of the Milwaukee area, and somebody that this is the first time his name has probably been uttered on this show, and he certainly showed something shooting 5 of 7. Again, you don't take too much away from an exhibition, but it's interesting to watch one of those young guys be the guy who really came through in the exhibition.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who you're just not sure where he's going to play into the rotation, but showed great potential. Schertz has said several times that he feels that McCautry and another freshman, all of a sudden I'm Max Picard, maybe the two most talented players on the team, but maybe not ready to really contribute yet. Well, McCautry's trying to prove that he is ready to contribute. He's a 6'6 guard, but he looks like he's a senior. He's a freshman, true freshman, and he's just big and strong. He can get in the lane, draw fouls, and create things. He's had a turnover problem in practice some, and so he's just working through some things that freshmen work through. But that was a pretty impressive first showing.
The website is stewonslu.substack.com. What's the take folks through, like, what it takes to view your content and just everything that's going to be on there?
Well, you just go to exactly what you said. It's pretty I don't know if it's a basic website, but you know, it's like having your own web page, but it's a little simpler than that. It's not all the bells and whistles of a normal web page, but for writers to post content. There's also, you know, platform for videos and for podcasts, and I'm going to try and expand into some other areas once I get comfortable posting stuff on there. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of stuff that goes on, so I want to make it look decent, and I'm just going to continue to try and put stuff up I don't know if it'll be on a daily basis, but it'll be quite regular. It's not just going to be men's basketball. It'll be women's basketball. I'm going to stick with the two soccer teams as they finish up their seasons and maybe try and get to the NCAA tournament and some other things, other intriguing stories that come up along the way. I'm always open to people letting me know if they feel there's any intriguing, interesting stories that people might want to hear about over at SLU, and they're welcome to email me or contact me on Substack.
Stu Durando now available on Substack. Again, stuonslu.substack.com. Stu, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck with the Substack, and I'm sure we'll ask you on here every once in a while moving forward.
That'd be great. I appreciate it, Matt.
All right, very good. Stu Durando joining us on the program. We are going to take a break, and when we return, back-to-back interviews, we're going to be joined by Blair Kirkhoff. What a remarkable win for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday when you consider everything that went down. We'll explain that and get Blair's thoughts on it. That's in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Of course, we are St. Louis's home for Chiefs football. And what an odd victory for the Chiefs yesterday. Odd in just the sense of the box score. I think anybody who would have seen a box score that includes Patrick Mahomes throwing for just 154 yards, not throwing a single touchdown, yet throwing two interceptions and playing on the road in San Francisco. I think most people are thinking, all right, Kansas City's getting handed their first loss of the year. Nope, not only did they win, they won by 10, 28-18, to talk about that. And all things Chiefs football, happy to welcome on a sports writer with the Kansas City Star. He is Blair Kirkhoff. You follow him on Twitter at Blair Kirkhoff. Blair, thanks for coming back on the program. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great. In addition, he had Mahomes, the lowest passer rating game of his career. So in the regular season. So a lot of things seemingly working against the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah, and look, he did it on the ground a little bit, running for 39 yards and running for a touchdown. Obviously, the defense did a nice job as well, but I'm not trying to be, arrogant on behalf of the Kansas City Chiefs, but it almost feels like a lot of things can go wrong for them, and they're still finding ways to win.
No, that's a good description. It's true. Injuries are piling up. Mahomes not playing the way we're used to seeing him play, at least in the passing game. But they're doing some things really well. Their defense overall has been excellent. I'd stack it up with any defense in the NFL right now. The running game has been exceptional in the last few weeks. They rushed for 186 yards on Sunday, and Kareem Hunt has been a kind of a revelation in his second term with the Chiefs. So they're doing things to, kind of winning a little bit of old school way. Somebody likened it to the Marty Schottenheimer era of Chiefs games where they won a lot of, they won a lot of games, won some division titles, but could never win a playoff game. Well, the Chiefs are playing a lot like they did last year when Mahomes did not have a great passing season, but they ended up winning all the playoff games. So it's been interesting to see this team in something of a transition.
Do you feel like defenses are selling out against the pass, allowing the Chiefs to run the ball, or is it more a case that the Chiefs don't really have a great receiving group right now? They didn't in the first place, and some guys are banged up. Which one of those two things, if one of those two things, is leading to this style of offense that they're going with right now?
Yeah, I'd say it's more the latter. I just don't think they have the horses at wide receiver, and they certainly don't have the players that they had and planned to have going into the season. You make the offseason move to bring in Hollywood Brown, and then Rashee Rice is coming off a really solid rookie season, and then you draft Xavier Worthy with your first round pick, the speedster from Texas, and you can see what the Chiefs were trying to do there. They're trying to regain something of the form that they had in the Tyreek Hill days, where they had great speed at the position, and then give Mahomes multiple weapons. Well, Hollywood Brown is injured on the first play of the preseason, and he's out for the year. And Rashee Rice gets in, you know, a few games, and then he bangs his knee on Mahomes' helmet trying to make a tackle after a Mahomes interception, and looks like he's out for the year. And so now they're down to Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman. And then in the first, you know, the first series against the 49ers, Smith-Schuster aggravates a hamstring injury, and he's lost for the rest of the game, and we know at least one more week. So it is a new cast of or a different cast than what the Chiefs were planning on having going into the season. They also weren't planning on having Kareem Hunt, and he's played really well. And they are operating behind an offensive line, especially the interior guys, Creed Humphrey in the middle, and Trey Smith and Joe Tooney, who are probably having collectively the best, you know, year of their careers.
We've already seen two top-tier receivers get traded. Amari Cooper goes to Buffalo, makes an immediate impact. Davante Adams goes to the Jets, does not make an immediate impact. I know up against the cap, things like that, it's not going to be easy, but do you see the Chiefs making a move to bring in a receiver who can help out this offense?
They could. It's possible. And they have done that in each of the last 2 years. They brought in Mecole Hardman, you know, a Chief who they had, they didn't retain, signed with the Jets, but the Chiefs traded back to get him after week six a year ago. And then 2 years ago, they traded for Kadarius Toney, brought him in. So each of the last 2 years, the Chiefs have done that. Now, with the Chiefs offense, if they go outside to bring in a wide receiver, it's going to take a while for that player to get up to speed. And as you mentioned, you know, the big names are off the market of Amari Cooper, Davante Adams. Not that the Chiefs were ever going to afford either one of those what they have left on the salary cap, but a second line wide receiver is a possibility. But I think the more likely scenario, at least in the immediate future, like this week, I just suspect they'll call somebody up from the practice squad, a player like Justin Ross, who has taken snaps with the Chiefs in regular season last year, and then a wide receiver named Nico Remigio, who's been sort of a fan favorite at training camp and has played well in the preseason, but hasn't been able to work his way up to the 53-man roster in the 2 years he's been with the Chiefs. So, the trade deadline's not until early November, so there's still, you know, a couple of weeks for that to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if this week they didn't add somebody from the practice squad.
A couple more moments with Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star talking Chiefs football. With Andy Reid overseeing the offense and then defense coordinator Steve Spagnuolo running that defense, is there a better kind of, you know, two-headed monster in the NFL right now when it comes to figureheads of an offense and a defense on one single team?
No, there really isn't. And Andy Reid's, you know, his bona fides are well established, right? Steve Spagnuolo is, you know, every season it just keeps getting better and better. And everybody, you know, everybody in St. Louis knows what kind of person he is from his time there with the Rams. And of course, his years with the New York Giants, we got to hear Tom Brady talking about it on the broadcast yesterday, how effective Spagnuolo defense was in the Super Bowl against him. So, he really is a master, and you get all the players. I don't know where else this happens, but to a man, the Chiefs defensive personnel just sings his praises. So, you know, I hope for his sake, he wants to become a head coach again, and I hope he gets that opportunity after this year. He already has 4 Super Bowl rings, more than any other coordinator in NFL history. I don't know what else he has to prove here in Kansas City. Could get a 5th ring. I mean, that's entirely possible. But the defense that he puts together and coordinates is just, like I said, it was great last year, and I think it's a tick better this time.
You never look over anybody in the NFL. Any team can beat any team any given Sunday. We know all the cliches. That being said, really, if the Chiefs do what they're supposed to do, their next challenge would probably come up, with all due respect to the Raiders, Buccaneers, and Broncos. And Buccaneers and Broncos are having nice seasons, but that November 17th game against the Bills is probably the one that people are already circling. Certainly the folks in Buffalo are circling that one. Is that the next kind of litmus test type game for this team?
It is. I mean, now they'll tell you inside the office is that the last time the Chiefs lost a game was to the Las Vegas Raiders in Arrowhead on Christmas Day last year. They've won 12 in a row since, but they were a big favorite that day and ended up getting beat. Now, Aiden O'Connell, who was the quarterback for the Raiders that day, is out with a broken thumb, and Gardner Minshew is the quarterback. I don't see the Chiefs having a problem. They were 9.5-point favorite on Sunday. I think they take care of business. I'll be interested in watching the Bucs tonight against the Ravens, because the Bucs can be they can be a talented team. But yeah, for all intent, and then the Broncos, you know, they might end up being the second best team in the AFC West this year. But that game in Buffalo will be a great game. Buffalo has owned the Chiefs during the regular season as much as the Chiefs have owned the Bills during the playoffs. So that'll be one hot ticket in Week 10 with the Bills and the Chiefs.
Blair Kirchhoff writes about Kansas City sports for the Kansas City Star. We love being able to talk with him. He's on Twitter at Blair Kirchhoff. Blair, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy watching Monday Night Football tonight, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care.
You bet. Very good. That's Blair Kirchhoff joining us on the program, and we appreciate him spending some time with us today. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to jump back into the Cardinals. If you want to text in real quick, we don't have a ton of time for this in our next segment. Might have time for some phone calls next hour, but if you want to text in your thoughts on John Jay in, Willie McGee reassigned in the organization to a front office role, you can text in or tweet in for that matter. If you text in, it's 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you text in or tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Are you sad about Willie McGee not being part of the Major League staff anymore? Are you excited about somebody like John Jay rejoining the organization and a guy who comes from now the, I guess, the Skip Schumacher tree, if that is such a thing? People talk all the time about Skip. Everybody wants Skip to take over in St. Louis. Well, you don't get Skip, but you get one of his coaches. And what are your thoughts on the news of the day when it comes to the Cardinals coaching? We'll discuss that coming up in just a moment or so. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we'll talk college football. Big weekend for both Missouri and Illinois. They both get wins, but the bigness of the weekend came in very different ways from a storyline standpoint. Also, we're going to talk with Joe Sheehan. We'll talk all things baseball playoffs with him. Joe Sheehan, of course, proprietor of the Joe Sheehan Baseball newsletter. Wanted to mention, just very quickly, what it might mean for the Cardinals with the staff adjustment. And you're going to hear a roundtable starting at 8:00 tonight with Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, and myself. And one of the things that we talked about, and when we did the roundtable, we did not know about the John Jay hiring, but one of the Cardinals issues potentially right now in bringing people in is people don't know what it's going to look like a year from now. Now, I think there's value in having Chaim Bloom already in place as the president of baseball operations. So if you're coming in into a front office role, you know what it's going to look like moving forward. You know that you're going to spend 1 year with John Mozeliak as your ultimate boss, and then Chaim's going to be your boss after that. But if you're going to bring in coaches for the Major League staff, you don't know if Ollie's going to be – we don't know really the relationship and the dynamic between Chaim Bloom and Oliver Marmol. We don't know if Chaim's going to want to bring in his own guy a year from now. So filling out coaching positions, especially from the outside, I think might be a little bit more challenging than people would think. So I think it's great that the Cardinals bring in John Jay. He's somebody who is a great baseball mind. He's somebody that has been working on a major league staff for Skip Schumacher. And I'm excited about what he's going to be able to bring. Again, I'm bummed out. I said this earlier. Bummed out that Willie McGee is not going to be part of the everyday coaching staff, but very happy that Willie is going to remain in the organization and hopefully continuing to do a lot of things. We'll continue that conversation in a moment here on KMOX.